the 10th verse of the 4th chapter of the 1st book of Chronicles, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from harm, so that it might not hurt me. The prayer of this man Jabez. I wonder what it is that brings you to this service this morning. Possibly one reason is that it gives us an opportunity to meet with our friends. Possibly another reason is that it's a habit that has developed over the years, and somehow it wouldn't just seem right if on Sunday morning we were not in God's house. Good to be there on Sunday evening too, by the way. It may be, perhaps, that some have come because there is some need in your heart. I want to say to all of you, whoever you are, and whatever the reason that brings you into this house of God this morning, that God has a blessing for you. And in the words of our text, this short prayer of Jabez, Jabez is calling upon God to grant his blessing, the blessing of God, upon his servant. The prayer is interjected into this long list of Jewish names, the story of the multiplication and the settlement of the people of Israel. Interjected into this story is the record of this man's prayer and the answer that he received. Preserved from ancient times and breaking this list of dry names, it falls with singular sweetness upon our ear. Jabez sought God's blessing upon his life, and he obtained it. So let us see, albeit briefly, it will have to be, let us see what it was he prayed for. He prayed for growth. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me and enlarge my border. Did not just simply say, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me. Sometimes in our praying for people, we ask that God will bless them and we leave it at that. I believe that it's important in our praying to be specific and not just simply to pray that God will bless the folk whom we bring to him in our prayers. God bless so-and-so and Lord. Then go on in your prayer to ask for something very definite, something very specific for the person for whom you're praying. And indeed, it's important to pray specifically ourselves, not just simply to say, God bless me, amen. Tell God what it is you want him to do for you. For he is a God who loves to hear the requests of his children. And when we come and open our hearts to him and tell him the things that we'd love to receive from him, the things we'd love him to do for us, he's a God whose heart is overflowing with generous love. And he longs to pour blessing upon blessing upon the lives of those who trust him. Now Jabez was clearly an ambitious man. The topographical nature of the genealogist is seen in this prayer, as it is an explanation of the extent of the territory that came to be occupied by the house of Jacob. He was ambitious, and it isn't wrong to be ambitious. And Wesley urged people to be ambitious in the right way. It is right to want to make the most of life for ourselves and to help others to do the same. When John wrote to Gaius in that third letter of his, he said, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in health. I know that it is well with your soul. So here John is praying for Gaius, that Gaius will receive blessings that are not just spiritual only. I know that all is well with your soul, he is saying. I pray too that all the affairs of your life will go well, and I pray that you may enjoy good health. Now, if we were to take that prayer of John for Gaius and turn it the other way, suppose we were suddenly to become physically what in fact we are spiritually, how well would we be? Would we be able to walk upright out of this church? Would we perhaps need assistance? Possibly someone to come and bring a wheelchair to wheel us out? Or even worse still, God forbid, carried out? Now, arrested growth is abnormal and tragic. And in the course of my ministry, I've seen this on numerous occasions. I've seen people whose minds have grown and developed, but whose bodies have not done so. People whose physical growth has been stunted, and they have been dwarfs, with the mind of a man, but the body of a child. Now that is sad, but it's even worse when a person has the body of a man, but the mind of a child. I've known some people like that too, whose minds have not grown with their developing bodies. And arrested growth is always tragic and abnormal. Alas, so many Christians allow themselves to suffer arrested growth. They never grow up. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, a church that was rejoicing in the things that God was doing amongst the people, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were moving in profusion in the life of that church, and yet Paul has to say to them, I can't write to you the way that I would like to be able to write to you because you haven't grown up. Brethren, he says, I cannot write unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Well, as God makes us aware of the things that hinder and retard our spiritual progress, may we be granted the grace to repent of those things, and so to open ourselves to the Lord, that we may become the kind of Christian people that he wants us to be, to grow up into the maturity of spiritual manhood and womanhood. Christians who do not go through their lives playing in the spiritual kindergarten, but who grow and develop to the praise and to the glory of God. Older members of the congregation may remember a quite outstanding minister of our church who died 40-odd years ago, it must have been now, a man called William Wallace. I was in the pulpit with William Wallace. I'd just been accepted as a candidate for the ministry at that stage, and I shared the pulpit with him on the last occasion that he was to preach. For the following day, he was killed in a railway disaster at Doncaster, travelling from Hull down to London. And I remember that in the course of his last sermon, William Wallace gave an illustration. He spoke about the church. He said, one of the problems of the church is this problem of retarded growth. And he said, one evening, my wife and I were sitting in the manse, and we heard a bump on the floor upstairs, and his wife ran upstairs to see what had happened. The little girl had fallen out of bed, and Mummy picked up the little tearful girl and put her back into bed and tucked her in and smoothed her brow and kissed her cheek, and then said to her, what happened, darling? The daft things we say, it was obvious what had happened, the child had fallen out of bed. What happened, darling, she said, and the little girl, through her tears, replied, Mummy, I fell asleep too near to where I got in. William Wallace used that illustration to say that this, alas, is what is so tragically true of large areas of the church. Too many of us get into the church and fall asleep too near to where we've got in. Jabez prayed for growth, and that's a good prayer for us. He prayed for guidance as well. This expression, the hand of God in his prayer, denotes the power of God. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me. And that expression denotes not only the power of God, but also the guidance of God, and how we need to make this our prayer. But is it reasonable to believe that God is interested in the petty details of my little insignificant life when the astronomer turns away from the telescope to tell us that the nearest star is probably 25 billion miles away and that there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on all the seashores of the earth? And when the geologist turns away from the study of the rocks to estimate the age of the world at something like 2,000 million years, how insignificant it makes us feel. Now the psalmist felt something of this awful insignificance. When I look at thy heavens, he says, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast established, what is man? That thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou dost care for him. Question is, does God really care for me? That's the question for each one of us this morning. Does God really care about me? And I want to say that the evidence of Scripture and of history leave us in no doubt at all that in the eyes of God a man is far greater than a mountain, and a soul is infinitely more precious than a star. God promises to be our guide. I will instruct you, he says, and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. What a wonderful thought that is. I can't go beyond it. I'd intended to. Lost a bit of time with the children, I'm afraid, but I hope you don't mind that. You're a bit kinder to me than they were. No, they were very kind. It was lovely. I just enjoyed the freedom of those children in the service. God cares about that little lad who was chatting away to me. Isn't it lovely to know that God knows that child, and God loves that child, and God longs that that child might come to know Jesus as his Saviour and find God's plan, God's purpose, and God's will for him in life. All that's true of that child now in Sunday school. And it's all very true of you too, whatever your age, and of me also. Hallelujah. We may well trust him to order the affairs of our life, for he does care for us. So the last thing about this prayer, it's a prayer for growth, it's a prayer for guidance, it's a prayer for godliness as well, for it concludes, "Oh, that thou wouldst keep me from harm, so that it might not hurt me." Now, when Jabez was born, his mother gave to him a significant name. Jewish names invariably have meanings. And the meaning of the name Jabez is brings sorrow. Now, why his mother should have given him that name, no one knows. I mean, we're not told. It could well have had something to do with the painful circumstances of his birth. Perhaps she nearly lost her life bringing this boy into the world. And so she called him Jabez, the child who brings sorrow. And it seems as though this very name hovered over him like a kind of dark, oppressive shadow through his life. And so Jabez comes to God and he asks for that blessing that will save him from sorrow. And God so answered his prayer that his life became a contradiction of his name. He prays to be delivered from harm. The Authorized Version gives there the word evil. And it's a good prayer for the Christian. And we've already prayed it here this morning in the words that Jesus taught us to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Good prayer for the Christian, the prayer for godliness. We have to live out our Christian lives in a very ungodly world, a world that is becoming increasingly more and more pagan and hostile to the things of God. And it isn't easy. Is it possible, indeed, some might ask, the kind of society in which we Christians have to live out our lives? Is it possible to be a Christian businessman? Is it possible to be a Christian, whatever it is that you are? Don't we have to end up somehow compromising? Do we? In an ungodly world, the people of God should shine as lights in the darkness, showing men that better way of life, pointing men to Christ, who is the light of the world, and who makes promise that those who follow him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Yes, you go out from your church into that world with all its pressures, and there by the grace of God you can be kept. C-Lab the Second is a huge metal cylinder in which 10 men regularly live for 15 days at a time at a depth of 200 or more feet beneath the surface of the ocean. And at that particular depth, it's very hazardous, of course. The pressures on that capsule are enormous. And yet, despite all the formidable force that threatens to crush that metal cylinder and destroy the human life contained within it. Those men nevertheless go down into the depths without fear, because they know that they're safe. The air in that capsule is at a pressure that is greater than the awful pressure from without that is brought to bear upon it. And say St. John, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So we go out into a godless community as a people of God, who by the grace of God are kept by the power of God. It's wonderfully refreshing to be halted in this long list of names by the story of one man who took his need to God and obtained the answer. The beauty of that story consists in it being a revelation of God's interest in individuals, because we are told that God granted Jabez what he desired. And if the prayer of Jabez is our prayer this morning, that God will help us to grow up in the Christian faith, that God will guide us through all the affairs of our lives, that God will help us in our outward demeanor in the world at large to conduct ourselves in a godly fashion as becomes the children of God, if that be our earnest prayer, then be quite sure that what Jabez received in answer to his prayer, you and I will receive in answer to ours. And God will give to you that blessing, if that is a blessing, and I hope it is, that you're seeking today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.